Well, the word is good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Highlight of our week right here.
Amen.
Yeah. Glory to God. You know, singing Christmas songs is festive and fun, but praise God, this is the time where we get our help.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're going to get our help, but before we get our help, I got to tell you a story. You know, little Billy. Why is it always little Billy? Does that make you mad, Bill? You know, little Billy was in Walmart with his mom, and he saw this bike that he just was just taken aback by, and just, whoa, mama, I want that bike. Can you get me that bike? Please, please get me that bike. And she said, well, you know, Billy, Christmas is right around the corner, and it's probably not a good idea to be buying things right now. And she said, why don't you go home and write a letter to Santa Claus and ask him for that bike? And he said, that's a good idea, but you know, Mom, I've been learning in Sunday school that, you know, Christmas is about God giving us Jesus, so I'd like to go home and write Jesus a letter and ask him for the bike. She said, well, that's a good idea, Billy. So he couldn't wait to get home, you know, and he rushed upstairs into his bedroom and pulled out a piece of paper and his pencil, and he got on his desk there and sat down and he wrote, Dear Jesus, I have been such a good boy this year, and because of that, I think you ought to get me that bike, signed Billy. Well, he was getting ready to fold that up and put that in the envelope, and something just wasn't right about that. He said, I don't know if that's completely right. So he crumpled that up and threw it away and got out another piece of paper and wrote, Dear Jesus, I have tried so hard to be a good little boy this year, and because of my effort, I think you ought to get me that bike, signed Billy. Well, he couldn't put that one in the envelope either. He felt just it wasn't right, so he crumpled that up, threw that away, got out another clean piece of paper, started to write, Dear Jesus, he said, I will try this next year as hard as I can to be a good little boy. And because of that, I think you ought to get me that bike, signed Billy. That didn't sit right with him either. He didn't think that was correct either, so he threw that away and got kind of frustrated and went outside and was playing. And he noticed that the neighbors had a nativity scene. So he got an idea and he walked over to that nativity scene and he saw the statue of Mary. And he grabbed that statue and put it under his coat, scampered back up into his room and shoved that thing under the bed. Got a brand new piece of paper out and he said, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, I suggest you get me that bike. Praise God. That would have been me. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. On that note, Lord, we love you. We so love you so much. You're so good to us, Father. Thank you for the word this morning. Help us to say what needs to be said. Father, help us to hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. Father, you know what everybody needs. I don't. And Father, you can supernaturally say something through me that is going to touch the hearts of every single person here, every single person listening by live stream, Father. You're just that good. You're that supernatural. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you we're going from glory to glory. We thank you we'll be bettered here today, and we'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. You know, growing up, I was blessed, you know, to have, you know, we had really good Christmases in my home, and I know a lot of people don't, and, you know, I knew that growing up. I was thankful, you know, I lived with my mom and my stepdad, and then I would see my dad on the weekends, but they would always work extra and, you know, really sacrifice for us to have a good Christmas. I mean, this is to be honest. I mean, I think I was a teenager. This is embarrassing, but it's true. And my Christmases were so good that one time I had a dream that it was Christmas morning in June. And when I woke up and realized it was June, I cried so hard because I thought I was going to walk out and see the tree with the presents, you know. And that wasn't the case. But you know, I was always so blessed, and I always noticed that. You know, I used to think back then. I always had compassion for people. And man, we'd be loaded up as kids with gifts, and you know, of course, when you're a child, you don't have much ways to earn much money a lot of times, or make money to get to a store and even buy things for your parents. You know, you'd notice that the ratio of gifts for the kids to the adults was kind of lopsided, you know, and I would notice my parents and stuff not really open them. And in my mind back then, you know, being the greedy little kid that I was, like, how does that not bother them? Like, how are they not just actually furious right now that they don't have anything to open? Well, you know, all they were concerned about was that I was happy and that my sister was happy and that we were blessed and that we were having a good time. It didn't matter to them that they didn't have any gifts. And I didn't understand that back then, but now I understand that having children, it's like, I understand getting gifts is nice and it's fun to do that, but I could give a rip if I get anything, you know. If my kids, you know, are blessed, and I'm so thankful to see them so happy. But, you know, then there was a point, of course, when you get older, and then, you know, not only do your parents want to see you still blessed, but then you have an opportunity to exchange with them, you know, and return the favor a little bit and be a blessing back to them. And that's where I want to go this morning. You know, when it comes to holiday services, I don't have canned services where I just keep one on the shelf. Well, it's Christmas, let's pull that out. Or, you know, a wedding, let's just do this for a wedding, or this for a funeral, or this for Easter. Or this. I try to hear from the Spirit of God, because there's purpose for every single service, you know. And other people might do that, and maybe that's the way they're led, but this isn't just something that we're just pulling off the shelf and dusting it off, and it's Christmas time, so let's have our... I believe we've heard from the Spirit of God this morning on what to share and to help you, but what I want to talk about today is, you know, God gave us Jesus, praise the Lord, the best gift ever. But you know, a lot of times when it comes to Christianity, and if your name's Jimmy in here, well, we're not talking specifically about you. I'm just using it as in a rhyme. But the way most Christians are is, my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me, right? Gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. You know what I mean by that? And where it's always a taking from God, and he's happy to give and to be a blessing. But there ought to come a time where we are like, Lord, what can we do for you? Amen. You know, it's like, we're at a place now where I enjoy being able to bless my parents with things and to be able to be kind to them and do things for them. And, you know, not to try to pay them back, so to speak, but just to be a blessing to them for how much of a blessing they were to me. And at some time, you know, God is so good to give and give and give. I just wonder sometime if we could change our mentality a little bit and have a little perspective of, Lord, what can I bring you? What can I do for you? And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to be honest, right? I mean, you've learned that from me. And sometimes I just say things probably shouldn't, but I say them anyway. One of my biggest pet peeves in the world is people that get you gifts that they know you ain't even going to like it. It's like, sometimes people give a gift selfishly, right? Where something they like or something that they would really enjoy, so they give it, where the other person might not like it at all. And that's just, I'll tell you, that really is annoying to me. And you might think, well, you're just so ungrateful. No, I just think it's stupid. If you're going to get somebody something, get them something they enjoy, right? Get them a gift that's going to bless them. And, you know, one time we did this dumb thing in my grandma's house where, man, we had all the family. I mean, talking like 20-some people, presents everywhere. And they came up with this stupid idea to open them one by one. And so everybody watched you open your present. Well, I don't like everybody watching me open my present, because sometimes I get things that I'm not too thrilled about, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And I got to process my reaction. Like, I don't want everybody on the spot. I got to figure out how am I going to make this look good, right? You know what I'm talking about. But they did this thing, and I was already a self-conscious kid, you know, always worried about people thinking about me and things, just kind of crazy in my mind back then. And well, my grandma had horrible handwriting. And the name Michael and Marilyn looked the same when my grandma's writing those names. And we're doing this thing, you know, and of course it came to my turn. And I'll tell you what, if you put a gift in my pile, you better believe I'm not even going to be looking at the name tag. Just, if it's in my pile when I was a kid, all right, load me up, right? I mean, just greedy little kid, you know. And, but I actually did look at the tag on this guy. I remember glancing at it, and I thought it said Michael, too, and they're handing it out. Well, you know, talking about giving gifts someone doesn't like is what we're talking about. And I open this thing, and I'm getting ready, because all eyes are on me. Got this stupid thing at Grandma's house. Everybody watches you open your presents. One by one, you know, it takes like 3 hours to open our gifts. Most annoying thing in the world. If you do it at your house, you ought to pray about changing that thing. That is not the way to do it. Praise God. And so I opened it, and there was this beautiful pink sweater. And you're saying, Pastor, you got pink on now. I know, but it ain't a pink sweater with some pretty little fancy thing on there. And I saw this as a kid, and Oh, Lord, please let her not be listening on live stream. Not my grandma. She's in heaven, but I have an aunt that does not know how to buy gifts for people. Would you witness to that? And you might say, you are such a little Scrooge. No, if she got you a gift, you'd be up here preaching the same thing. I'm talking like off the wall. You know what I'm talking about. And so I'm thinking, in my mind, shoots her mama like, see, she doesn't get things for people to make them miserable. She just doesn't know. And I'm like, okay, did she get me this? And if she did, I sure got to figure out. Because I thought for sure the name tag said Michael. And it said Marilyn. I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get red. And people are like, hold it up! Hold it up! I'm not holding it up. Well, thankfully, they found out that it wasn't mine. But, you know, talking about giving gifts that people don't enjoy and don't want. And we ought to want to bring God something that actually would please Him and be a blessing to Him. And He gave so much at Christmas time, and He's so thrilled to do it. And He's so thrilled, like the parent that just loads their kids up and doesn't care that they get anything in return. She's like, I'm so thankful. And that's the way God is. But today, I want to talk about a gift that we can endeavor to give Him going forward in 2015 that will please Him, that will cause Him to be blessed, because He knows that not only if we give Him this gift, it's going to assure the safety of His children. It's going to ensure the protection of His children. It's going to ensure the blessing and the health of His children. So praise God, this is a gift that God is pretty thrilled about. Praise the Lord. Well, Hebrews 11 in verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. Impossible to please God without faith. You can't put a smile on Daddy's face if you're not in faith. And so I want to talk about today, excuse me, endeavoring to be people that will be faith people, true faith people, but coming from a different perspective. Because I've always preached faith, and it's not wrong because the Bible says it's true. I've always preached faith from the standpoint of that's how we change our world. That's how we change our circumstances. That's how we change poverty into prosperity. That's how we change sickness into health. That's how we change depression and fear and anxiety into joy and courage, praise God. But I was in my old house, and we needed a new house, you know, with a new baby on the way, and it was when we were in the old building, and we needed a new church building. And I knew that there were some things coming up that the Lord was leading me into personally and also church-wise that was going to require heavyweight faith. And I started to get down about that because I knew I was going to have to use my faith and that it was going to be in that. That's why the Bible calls it a fight of faith. But see, you have to understand, the Bible calls it a good fight because when you're in the fight of faith, you always win. You always win. There might be some opposition and pressing against you for a while, but you always win. But I was down and out, you know, and just... But I knew that wasn't going to get the job done, being down and out. So I started to meditate on faith scriptures. And this verse came out, and I've read this verse a million times, but that night, you ever had the Word of God become like 3D to you? Or had where the pastor's preaching, and he could say something for a year, and then just one time, finally, I saw that like I've never seen it before. Boom, it just jumped off at me. God's trying to get something in my life. Well, that happened that night in my living room, my old house. I saw it, and I started to say out loud, I started just weeping, the compassion of God, and just being moved by Him. I said, I see it, Lord. I see it. I got up and started pacing the floor. I said, I see it. I mean, I was so thrilled because I knew I had crossed over something. I said, I see it. I see it. I said, I've always approached faith from the standpoint of that this is how I receive the promises. This is how I overcome. This is how I defeat the devil. This is how I make sure that I'm okay and that my family's okay. I said, but I see it, Lord. I said, I want to be in faith. And me going into faith and me going into this realm of having to use my faith for our home and for the church building, it pleases You for me to be in this realm. And it flipped the whole thing in my mind. The whole perspective changed where I wasn't dreading having to go into a challenge and a test. I was excited because that realm, not that God's happy when you're being tested in the sense that He wants to see you struggling and see you do bad, but He's happy when you're in that place and you use faith because faith pleases Him. And I said, I see it, Lord. I said, I'm excited. I'm excited to believe You for the new home. I'm excited to believe You for the new church building and for all the money that it will take and for all the things that will come with it. I'm excited about it. So we've talked about faith a lot. But I want today to be from a standpoint of, I want to endeavor to do this because I want to put a smile on His face. I don't know about you, and if you're not this way, you know, maybe you ought to meditate a little bit more on some things of what he did for you. I believe in every child, no matter how the parents act, to a point I think, you know, people can really get turned off by their parents eventually. But I'm talking young kids. I saw it, you know, in the after school program, parents that just didn't even really care about their kids, but the kids were just hung on every word their parents said, you know. I believe every child in the heart of hearts has a desire to please their parents at a certain age. And I always have had a desire to be someone that God approved of, what I mean. Even when I was living wrong, I just wanted to just be, I wanted him to look at me and say, I'm proud of you. Maybe you don't care how God views you, but me, I want God to be pleased with my life. I want to be somebody that gives God something really wonderful, you know? Praise God. That's what I want to do. And so I want to please him, and I want to put a smile on his face. Well, you can't do that without faith. And so I want to look at faith not from a selfish, and it's really not a selfish standpoint because the Word says we can have it, but look at it from the standpoint of this pleases God. That this pleases God. You know, and we don't have to turn there, Heather, but in Hebrews 10 it says, actually, let's turn there, because we do need to turn there. Hebrews 10:38 would be better to talk just to look at it. Sometimes people need to see it. Hebrews talking about pleasing him. If you're going to get him a gift and bring him something, you might as well get him something he enjoys. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise God. Just because you like hunting doesn't mean they're going to like hunting. Just because you like certain things doesn't mean they're going to be good to find out what people like. And bless them, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Praise God. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back from what? A lifestyle of faith. A lifestyle of living in faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What's he saying? I'm not pleased. And you're not pleasing me when you don't live a lifestyle of faith. Well, I think it'd do us good before we'd look at a couple things. Won't be here long. What is faith? Because so many people have an idea about faith. And let me just tell you something. The majority, now let me preface this before I say this statement. I'm not trying to criticize churches. I'm not trying to criticize the body of Christ. But I do have some experience growing up in some of these churches. So does she. And my family are still in a lot of these churches, and I see what their lives look like. And I pastor, and I go around the country and see churches and talk to other ministers and different things in their community, and the same report. But there is a good majority of the body of Christ that are going to heaven, that God loves them just as much as he loves any of his other children, but that don't know a lick about faith. Don't know a lick about that God wants you blessed, that don't know a lick about what he did for you on the cross, that he redeemed you from the curse. Don't know a lick that God healed your body, that the chastisement of his peace was upon him, that God wants you living worry and stress-free. They just don't know any of this. It stops at the cross. And again, that's not to criticize them. I was in those churches until someone showed me. So this ain't a pat me on the back type of thing or elevating our church. My goodness, no, it's not. But it's just stating a fact that there are a lot of churches out there like this. The word's not getting taught. People don't know anything except for salvation. They stop at the cross, or even worse, negative things are being taught. That God's the one making you sick. That God's the one sending you the trouble. God's on your side. God's on your side. And so we need to find out what is faith. I remember somebody, I don't even remember who this was a while ago. I can't even remember who the person was. They had a tattoo on their foot that said, walk by faith. And I saw that, and most Christians, well, you'll walk into their home and they'll have a sign that says faith. And they'll have pictures and different things in their house that talk about faith, hope, and love, and that you gotta walk by faith. And this person was one of the biggest doubters, biggest complainers, didn't know anything about believing God, and they think that that's faith. That's not faith. Right. Complaining, doubting, moaning, and groaning, and whimpering, and whining, and wondering where it's going to come from, and talking negative, that's not faith. Right. So we need to look at what faith is so we can make sure, okay, if I'm going to bring God the gift of faith for the purpose of pleasing him, I better make sure I know what it is. Right. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Praise God. It says, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Praise God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the unseen realm. Listen to what the Amplified says. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, or the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith is a belief in what you can't see. I know we say that seems very basic, Pastor Mike. Well, I was talking with a gentleman this week, and he was telling me how his daughter had broke her foot, and they had prayed for that foot, and something, I don't know if she was able to take the cast off or the boot off, I can't remember the exact story, but she was moving it around a little bit, and it hurt. And she said, you know, Daddy, I really don't know if I'm healed or not. And I love his response. He said, well, honey, he said, are you going to believe the pain, or are you going to believe the Word of God?
Amen.
That's faith.
Yeah.
Now, let me preface something here as we go forward, because faith doesn't mean flush your brain down the toilet. I'll give you a few examples in a second to help you. Sometimes people get a hold of the faith message and they have good intentions to jump out in faith, and they jump out into stupidity,
yeah,
and it hurts their life. God gave you a brain for a purpose, not to throw it away. Faith doesn't throw away the brain. But he made a point. He said, are you going to believe? He didn't say that the pain wasn't real. He didn't say that they shouldn't treat the pain. But he's saying, what are you going to believe, honey? Are you going to believe the report that your foot is telling you that you're not healed? Because the foot's telling her, I'm not healed. The foot's saying, I hurt.
Yeah.
And it's you know, whatever, not working out the way I thought it would. And he's saying, honey, are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? The Word of God, which says you're healed. See, that's the difference between non-faith people and faith people.
Sure.
The faith people can have the pressures of the world. Their checkbook can be empty. Their bodies can be sick. Everything can look bad in the natural. It can be so real. The pressure's so real. Yet they have so much more faith and confidence in the Word of God than the natural. And when you get to that point where you believe this report over this report, or what's in your back pocket, or what's in your bank account, then what's in here will show up and overtake the natural realm and start to turn these things around. But that's the kind of faith that will please Him. To be able to take the natural realm that's telling you you're poor and to stand there and say, the Word of God says I'm rich, which means if I'm rich, money has to come to me. Money must be on its way. It just hasn't got here yet. The Bible says by His stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. And even when your body is acting up, you say, I am the healed of the Lord. Healing is coming to me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Yeah, that's faith. Now, people have a hard time grasping that in their mind. It can't be grasped with the mind. But what I was saying about, he wasn't saying to her, don't put that cast on. You know what? Go run as fast as you can and go play in the playground. No, he wasn't saying deny. Let me just say this. Faith is not denying the circumstances. But what faith is believing the Word of God over what the circumstances are telling you. Remember the children of Israel? God says, you got a land. I'm giving you a land. Well, they went out and they saw that it was going to be opposition and that it was going to be hard for them to get that land. And they came back and said, we can't have it. Now, God didn't say you're lying about what you saw. God didn't say deny it. But what they should have done is they should have said, you know what? There's people already there. Well, they should have done what Caleb and Joshua did. Caleb and Joshua saw the same thing, that there were people already there, that it was going to be a struggle, that it was going to be a fight of faith. And they came back and said, yeah, this stuff's real, but we can overtake them.
Yeah.
Just like that little girl. Yeah, there's pain in my foot, but healing is mine. That's what faith is. We see a lot of times people will think faith is, yeah, I'm going to get off on a tangent. I feel it coming. People, don't you dare experiment with your faith on your children. How many times have you seen in the news parents refusing to take their kids to the doctors and the kids end up dead? Well, our religion, our faith. Luke was a stinking doctor. Luke was a doctor. Lord put these people on earth for a reason, in medicines, to help us. Faith isn't throwing away your medicine. Faith isn't cutting your leg open and your bones hanging out and everybody's walking by and saying, ooh, are you okay? No, I'm good. Everything's great. That's not faith, that's stupidity. And so many times people, I knew somebody. Here's the thing you got to remember, I'll get to that story. You have a measure of faith. The Bible says everybody has a measure of faith. What you do with your measure is up to you. If you increase your faith, great. If you don't, that's your prerogative. But the Bible says there's people with great faith, little faith, a lot of faith, no faith. I don't know where your faith is. But certain things in life require a measure of faith. Certain diseases or sickness that you're going through, it's going to require faith, and it might require much faith. You better know your measure of faith before you do something dumb. There's one lady I knew that was just struggling with anxiety and panic attacks, and she took medicine for it, and the medicine helped her. Well, she got a hold of the faith message. First thing she did was run out and throw all her medicine in the garbage. I'll tell you what, she tailspinned. She wasn't ready for that. She wasn't at the place where her faith could carry her. And so she got back on it and started taking her medicine by faith. What'd she do? Every time she took a pill, she said, "Father, I thank you there's coming a day where I will not need to take this medicine, where I will not have anxiety problems." And it has come to pass. Yeah. It took a while to get her faith there, but who cares? She got it.
Praise God. Yeah.
I had a cousin that was struggling with teeth problems and just pain. I felt so bad for her, tears. And I said to her, I said, "Sarah, why don't you just believe God for your healing? The Bible says He's your healer." And I so appreciate what she said to me. Most Christians aren't like this. They try to be these faith giants and they're faith pipsqueaks. And she's so sweet, she even calls her cousin Pastor Mike. She said, "Pastor Mike," she goes, I don't think I have the faith yet to believe for my healing." I appreciated that honesty. Because if you come to me for agreement and prayer and you want to jump on with my faith, I'll do that with you. But the Bible says where two or three agree on earth. If you can't agree with what I'm praying, then that verse doesn't work. But the Bible says if two or three on earth can agree as touching anything that they ask, it'll be done for them.
Yeah.
And so I said, "Okay, you can't believe for your healing? Thank you for your honesty. Work on healing." As I said, work on healing. I said, "Can you believe for the money to go get the procedure done?" I said, "Because Bible says God is your provider." And I said, "It's not His highest and best going that route, but it's, hey, wherever your faith is, you know, it's not God's highest and best that we have surgeries and have to be in the hospital, but praise God for the doctors and praise God for the medicine while our faith's growing. I've had to use them, and so have you. I'm thankful for them. Doctor saved my life with that appendix thing." And I said, "Well, can you believe for the money?" And she said, "You know, I can believe for the money." I said, "All right, can you agree with this prayer?" I said, "Let's not pray." I said, "Can you agree with this prayer? I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to say, Father, you said you'd provide and meet all our needs. Father, we don't have the money for this. We're going to believe you for the money and believe it comes and get that done, taken care of, and you'll be healed that way." She said, "I can agree with that." I said, "All right, let's release our faith and pray for that money." And wouldn't you know, within a few weeks, all the money showed up. She went and got it done, fixed her mouth. Praise God. Now she can work on healing. So the next time something comes, she can get her healing. But don't be stupid with faith. Faith is not denying the natural. It's like the group of students at Rhema. The minister came in and told them a story, right? About the guy that God told him to give away his car. Well, he gave away his car. Within a week, he had a brand new car. And all the dummies at Rhema, the Bible school, said, "Oh, that's a way to get a new car. Give my car away and I'll get a brand new one in a week." Well, guess who was walking to class a whole lot of time? That's not smart. If God doesn't tell you to do something like that, if you're not willing to walk a little bit, you better make sure God told you to do it. Now, you can give your car away out of the purpose of your heart, and you'll get a return on that. You don't have to have God to tell you to do something, and you'll get a return on that, but it might not come as quick as when God tells you, give your car and a brand new one's coming in a week.
Amen.
But faith isn't denying it. But faith is putting more emphasis in the unseen realm, the evidence of things not seen. If you want to bring God a gift that absolutely pleases Him, puts a smile on His face, you are going to have to stop putting so much emphasis and belief in your natural circumstances and start putting them into God. So many people identify God with their circumstances. "Well, I'm broke. God must not want me to have any money. Well, I'm sick. God must not want me to be a healer. Well, God saved the whole world, yet people are dying and going to hell every day. Yet it's His will that people be born again." So you got to get to the place where you walk by faith and not by sight. If you want to truly please God, if you're a person that's interested in pleasing your Father this morning and walking out of here for 2015, and we know all the benefits of faith that come to us personally, but we're talking from the perspective of what can we bring Dad on Christmas? What can we give Him every single day of our life to bless Him for what He's blessed us with? Faith. Faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. True faith. Not this, put it on a doily, put this on a poster, put it on my wall. We're talking about living this stuff. When hell shows up at your front door, unexpected. You know, sometimes hell will show up without an invitation. Now, sometimes we invite hell into our lives. But sometimes it just wants to crash the party. And it'll show up unexpected and uninvited. It's at those times where you're tested. It's at those times where you have now entered the battleground, where you now have entered into the fight. And what you do there is going to determine the outcome. And we better get to the point where faith becomes the reality of what God's Word says. That when the natural looks contrary, when you can't pay your bills, you're not sad. You're not walking around saying, I'm not going to be able to afford this, or how's it going to happen? That's not faith. You've just stepped out of the realm of faith. Faith says, all right, well, here we go. Lord's going to bless me. It'll be good. Amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let me bring it to you for a different perspective. Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, let me explain that in English. The Word is telling you that you ought to be in fear going through this life and not getting not getting everything that God has for you. The Bible says you ought to be in fear lest a promise goes undone in your life and you come short of that promise. The Bible says you ought to have fear that you don't get that you don't walk into that. Why? Because Jesus paid a horrific price for you to be able to walk into those promises. Amen. The reason we can be healed is because the stripes were laid on Him. The reason we can walk in financial blessing is because poverty was laid on Him. The reason we can walk in joy and peace is because the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He took our depression. He took our fear and our mental anguish and pain. And the Bible says we ought to have not this take it or leave it mentality. See, there's the take it or leave it mentality, which is in the ditch. We ought to be so on the other side of, I'm so fearful that I would actually get to heaven and have to stand in front of Jesus and have Him say to me, I died for you to be healed. Why weren't you healed on earth? I died for you to be sound in mind and to have a whole mind. Why were you so tormented? I paid a price for that. I paid a price for your poverty. Why were you always struggling financially? We ought to say, you know what? I am not going to take it or leave it anymore. I'm going to press in until these things become a reality in my life. Hallelujah. Hey, Bible says it. Let us therefore fear a promise being left of us entering into His rest. Why does God want us to be in faith so much? Because we enter into His rest. Amen. You'll see that in a second. What is His rest? God's rest isn't fear. God's rest isn't anxiety and turmoil. God's rest isn't poverty. God's rest isn't sickness and disease and worry. God is experiencing a wholeness of blessing. And that's what He wants for your life. Days of heaven upon the earth. Look at verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith. You'll never walk into the promises that God has for you until you become that faith person that pleases God. And you can see there that the Bible says that it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Talking about, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now He's referencing the children of Israel. Well, they went with a promise left undone, didn't they? He promised them the promised land. They came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. God said, I'm moving you into a promised land. Well, there was going to be opposition. Welcome to life. There's going to be opposition. If you want to grow in the things of God and get more and go to a different level, get ready for a struggle. Get ready for opposition. But praise God, if you'll stick with it, you will win. You'll win. You won't be overtaken. But welcome to life, Christians. We're shocked. Bible says, beloved, think it not strange. Fiery trial. Most Christians are thinking it's strange. What just happened to me? Welcome to life. There's a devil. Praise God. Verse 3. For we, now notice this, here we go. For we which have believed. What is another word for belief? Faith. All faith is just belief. So you could read that this way. For we which have gone into the realm of faith. For we who are faith people, who take more emphasis in the unseen realm in the Word of God than what we can see in our bank account, than what we can see in our bodies and in the doctor's reports. For we which have believed, the faith people, enter into the rest. You don't get what you deserve in your life. You'll get what you believe for. You need to get a hold of that. You won't get what you think you deserve in life. You'll get what you believe for. For we which have believed enter into the rest. The ones that haven't entered into the rest isn't God's fault. It ain't your pastor's fault. It ain't your spouse's fault. It ain't your job's fault. You haven't believed. You haven't crossed over into that realm of faith. As I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest. He said, the only way they're going to, he said, I've sworn the only way they're going to enter in my rest is by faith. He's telling the world, stop thinking that I'm a God that just does whatever I want to. Stop thinking that blessings are just going to fall off a cherry tree like a ripe cherry and hit you on the head. He says, you're going to have to do something about it. And I'm swearing that the only way that you're going to enter into this rest is you'll be in faith. I'll tell you, wow. You can see why God is urging His children to be faith people, because He knows when you're faith people, He knows His kids are okay.
Good.
And you wonder why your pastor preaches faith so much, because when I preach faith and you get faith, I know you're okay. Yeah. And the Lord is swearing. He's saying there's no other way in. There's no other way into my rest other than faith. Praise God. Well, I want to show you just a few verses and then we'll close it up. About the benefits of learning to be proficient in faith, and hopefully it'll motivate you to go forward in learning about faith for yourself, but also for the pleasing of God. Remember, we know the benefits will come to us. But I want to look at it from the standpoint of, okay, I can see why God would want me to be in faith because I'm His child and He loves me so much. See, I want Caleb to make good decisions that I tell him to do, because I know if I tell him, listen, buddy, when you're outside, don't you run in that road. I want him to obey that because that'll bring blessing to his life. Or do certain things, or you know, teaching him about tithing as he's growing up and going to church and different things. I want, when I know he's doing right, it brings blessing and pleases me because he's going to be okay. Hallelujah. 1 John 5 and verse 4, we're going to look at three verses. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, you say, how do you know if you're born of God? If you've accepted Jesus, you're born of God. Overcomes the world. Praise God. What is the world? Well, everything that the world can throw at you. What are things of the world? Sickness, poverty, all those things we talk about. But the Bible says if you're born of God, you have the legal right to be an overcomer in this world. See that there?
Yes. Amen.
But this is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my pastor's faith. Even, you know, the TV preacher's faith is going to pray for me. I'm going to send all my prayer requests to him and just believe it. My faith will not cause you to overcome. Your faith will cause you to overcome. And if you don't use your faith, don't expect to be in the realm of the overcomers. Because it's up to you. After service, you do a good thing to just go look in the mirror and say, it's up to that person. Stop passing the buck and looking around. Stop blaming everyone else in the world. My situation is this because of this person. Stop it. Who doesn't get wronged by people? Who doesn't have trouble? Jesus was wronged by people every day, yet He walked through this world victorious. Walking through crowds that wanted to throw Him off cliffs and persecute Him. And people said, well, no, they got to Him in the end. No, they didn't. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. People say, oh, that mean Pontius Pilate. Those mean Romans. No, those Romans and those Pontius Pilate, they couldn't do anything unless Jesus would have willingly said, take me. Oh, I get chills when I... Glory to God. Woo! Our Jesus had people on His case all the time. He was always blessed. He always had a supply. He was always full of joy. Stop blaming everyone else. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. It's not your boss or your grandma, the way you grew up. Do something about the situation that's been dealt to you.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that's not popular. We like to be just the handout, Lord. Handout, handout, handout. Nope, I want my future to be in my hands. That way you can't screw it up. And you want your future to be in your hands? That way I can't screw it up. Hallelujah. Our faith overcomes the world. But you got to be in faith. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Two more verses. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Glory to God. Faith. I'm going to be a faith person in 2015. I don't know about you. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What promises? All the wonderful things he says you can have. Guess what they come through? No other avenue but faith. Amen. Gotta be faith. The believing, that means, like Abraham, when things are contrary in your life, when the pastor says you can be blessed and it looks like you can't pay your bills, when the pastor says you can be healed because the word says it, and you can't, the doctor's report's shaking your mind and your body's just telling you and acting up, that means that if you want those promises to come into your life, you are going to have to say, I believe God's word more. Like Abraham did. Abraham was promised a son. Well, he turned 100, his wife turned 90. And you know what the Bible says? That Abraham did not consider. It wasn't even part of the equation. See, you always look at how much your paycheck is to whether or not you're going to be able to pay your bills. You always look at how your body feels to find out, am I really healed or am I not? The Bible says that the faith giant Abraham did not even consider his own body, now dead being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The very two things in the natural that would cause him to be able to have a baby, Abraham says, they're not in the equation. The only thing that's in the equation is the word of God, which God said, I'm having a son. Yeah. God says you're rich, but you can't pay your bills. Which one are you going to lean on? Yeah. I'm just telling you what faith is. Yeah. If you want the promises to come, that's the kind of faith person you need to be. Where the word has more emphasis, where you place more value, like Abraham said, the natural realm, the checkbook don't even matter. The doctor's report don't even matter. Holy cow. That's faith giant right there. He said the only thing that matters is what my God has said. And my God has told me I will have a son. People say, well, that was just for Abraham. Well, what has God told you? You have a whole book of things God has told you. You say, well, I'm broke and I don't have a specific word from God like he did. Yes, you do. You just haven't looked. The whole Bible is just words from God for your life. Last verse, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Now, just real quick, in verse 12, he says that our fight's in the spiritual realm with the devil. We know that. Well, then Paul goes on and talks about putting on the armor of God. You know, putting on things that will protect us. That's what armor's for, isn't it? Protection. But he says in verse 16, above all. Now, wouldn't that tell you that that gets shot to the front of the list? In the list of armors, if he's saying above all, is he placing an importance on this next piece? He sure is. He's saying above all that. That other stuff's good, but even above all that, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith, or by the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Do you know that you have the ability to not be touched by the devil in this life? I know that's not what you heard growing up in your churches. Oh, be careful. Don't talk. Pastor Mike, you better not say that. No, I want the devil to hear me loud and clear. I want to put him on the run. I'm not afraid of him. And you ought to not be either. Just put the shield of faith up. Every dart he throws at you will quench that thing. You know, the devil will lie to people. I've heard it from several. Pastor, you preach, all you preach on is faith, or you preach too much faith. Well, that's the devil lying. Why? You know that he fights me more when I preach on faith. All throughout Sundays, a spirit of depression will try to fall on me, and a spirit of depression will try to fall on me, and different things will try to come in my life, and come on me, and I'll be battling thoughts all day. I mean, I'm talking hardcore, one after the other, after faith messages. Why? He's trying to get me to back off. But I said this last night, my foot, when it comes to faith, is pressed so far down the gas pedal. I got it bungee corded down. I got it tie strapped down. I got it chained down. I'm not backing off the faith message. And think about, this will help you when the devil lies to you. When the devil says, all he teaches, well, that's not true. You look at live stream, we've taught on other things. But all the devil's saying is, all that pastor teaches you is how to overcome me. All that pastor teaches you is how to be blessed. All that pastor's teaching you is how to live free and to live full of faith and to live full of healing and blessing and overcoming and get all the promises of God. If you only learned about faith in this church, you'd be in a good place. You would be. I can't remember who it was. There's three or four different ministers that are floating around my head who, you know, dominated in this life. And I can't remember which one of them made the statement. It's one of them. But he said, every day I take time to meditate in faith scriptures. Because I want to please God, but I need to be proficient in this area. We better start becoming skillful in these areas. Why not just make a declaration right now in your own life that 2015 is going to be a year of faith for you? That instead of encountering trials and instead of encountering tests with fear and worry and anxiety and doubt, we're going to go into them and say, what does the Word say about that situation? And I'm going to believe the Word and I'm going to hold on to it until that shows up in the natural. Just make it a declaration right now. Lord, that's what I'm going to do. That's what we ought to do for 2015. Hallelujah. That's how you're going to get your victory. That's how you're going to get the rest. Praise God. So I encourage you going forward. What do you want to bring Him every day? He's given us a gift every day. I want to bring Him something every day. I want to, and I know that by bringing Him the gift of faith, it's not a stupid pink sweater. For me, I wouldn't want a stupid pink sweater. Now, you ladies, if you have one, you look lovely. But I'm talking about for myself. Hallelujah. And so praise God. Are you glad you came to church?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray. Father, we do love you so much. We're so thankful for your mercy, so thankful for your goodness and your kindness. You're so wonderful to us, Jesus. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Father, you want us to enter into your rest. You want us to enter into that realm of peace and protection and different things like that. And so we're just so thankful for the Word this morning. You know, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. You know, we talk about the gift, and Christmas is a time of gifts and the exchange of gifts and different things. And man, that greatest gift ever was Jesus. And you know what's awesome about a gift is a gift you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. You just were given it. And, you know, the Bible says that He gave Jesus so that you could have everlasting life and not perish. And so we're just going to let you know that the Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know everybody personally in here. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, how do I know? I need Him. Well, if today were your last day on planet Earth, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Because that gift's been made available. That gift's free. And so if you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Well, this is opportunity. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, you're qualified for salvation. Doesn't matter how many good or bad things you've done. Doesn't matter how much you've gone to church or how little you've gone to church. Nobody's looking around. All heads are bowed. All eyes are closed. We're not going to call you to the front. We're not going to have you stand up. You won't say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. I see that hand. You can put it down. Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Say, well, I had a bad week. We'll just ask Him to forgive you. Say, well, I had a bad year. Just ask Him to forgive you. He hasn't left you. He said, I'll never leave you. You accept Him, He's latching on to you. He ain't going nowhere. You can't get rid of Him. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I see that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we close? Father, I thank you for the hands that we had. Now, listen closely, those of you that raised your hands. Now we have one thing left to do. That's call on His name. The Bible says if you call, you'll be saved. You're not going to have to do that on your own or think of anything to say. We're going to pray with you. But remember, if you made this commitment this morning, you never have to do this again. You never have to ask Him to save you again. He's already saved you. You might have to repent for things you do, but you don't have to get reborn again. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you raise your hand, repeat this with me along with the rest of the church. Dear Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins.
I believe You died on the cross for my sins.
I believe You rose again from the dead. And
I ask You to come into my heart.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed, we are going to take up communion. Kind of remember that, you know, a lot of times communion is talking about the death of Jesus, but how many of you know we don't have the death of Jesus without the birth of Jesus? Isn't it amazing that Jesus came to the earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to die for us? Glory to God. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to go ahead and serve. Now, please just, you know, keep the bread and the elements here and the juice. Don't just wait. We'll all take this up together. If they could go ahead and pass that out, that would be a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to put a song on while we're waiting. Glory to God. Let's see. I'm done. Just go to playlist and go to Christmas when the service is over, but I'm going to go here first. You just go hit that arrow and then you'll be able to go back to playlist. So.
You're my beloved, you're my bride.
Just think about Him.
You in
It's time. This is a time of worship now. We just love you, Lord. We praise your name.
Come away with me, my love.
It's a good time to reflect and think about things we need to make changes and just loving on Him. We bless you, Lord. We love you today. We're still thankful.
Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face.
Bless you, Lord. We love you. We're thankful for sending Jesus. Just thank Him. Just worship Him. This is the time between you and God. Just love you, Lord. We're so thankful. Thank Him for heaven. Praise God for that baby Jesus. Bless you.
So beautiful to me. I sing over you my song of peace. Cast all your cares down at my feet.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you.
Come and find your rest in me.
We're so thankful for Jesus that He would humble Himself and become a little baby in a manger. My goodness. The Bible said He laid aside all His dignity, all His rightful privileges of heaven to become a man. Glory to God. It's because He had you on His mind. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bless you, Father. We love you so much.
My beloved, you're my pride. To sing over you is my delight.
Hallelujah.
Come away with me, my love.
Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, talking about the night that Jesus was betrayed, said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you," Paul talking. He said that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead and break the bread and let's eat it. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And verse 26 says, "For as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." So this represents the blood that was spilled for us. Holly, let's go ahead and drink it. Father, we are just so thankful for Christmas, because without Christmas, there's no Easter. And without Easter, Father, there's no salvation for us. And we're just so thankful for the whole plan of salvation. That, Father, sending your Son was a demonstration that you're full of love and mercy and kindness, and that your arms are open to mankind. Father, we thank you for that goodness and that mercy that you displayed in Jesus. We love you, and Father, we endeavor from this place to go forward as people of faith, to please you, but also to put ourselves in a position of walking into your rest, which will please you because you love us so much as our dad. We give you the glory, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, if you have children in nursery, go get them and go over to the tree. There's a gift with their name on it. Also, if you're in here and you're still in school, we do have a bag of candy for you on the book table. Make sure you get one of those. You are dismissed. Have an awesome Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday.